to this edition of When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine, a discussion of sustainable living and what that means to you and me. I'm Jay Warmke.
And I'm Annie Warmke.
And today we're going to talk about holistic health and self-healing, or if I can't patent it, it must not be medicine. There you go.
That's the great word.
And we're joined today by Judy Fasson. And she describes herself as a nurse, a Traeger, is it
practitioner.
A Traeger, and musician, gardener, grandmother, and earth lover. So welcome, Judy.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
She's from far away Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah. I've been there once. I saw it on a map. It says, beyond here, there be demons.
So. I think they're all around us.
We'll keep that in mind. I wish it was just there, that we'd all know where to go. Anyway,
Right.
So Judy, today we're going to have some fun, I hope, and explore some ideas about healing. But let's start with, tell us a little bit about your background and how you became interested in this topic and then became a Traeger practitioner.
Yeah, well... So I love being outdoors and started out in on a 2-acre piece of property raising a family, and I've always had an organic garden and farm, and at some point about 10 years later I found myself as a single mother and went back to school for my nursing degree, and within that framework I did both. I sort of, loved still using food for healing. For some reason, I had this, even 40 years ago, my kids are now in their 40s, was making kombucha in the refrigerator and sassafras tea every summer and pretty much driving my kids crazy. I had a little victory garden in the backyard and while I was going to nursing school, all of, learning the other side of the coin of natural healing, which, I think there are a lot of good aspects of medicine in many ways. I would never want to go backwards and not have that information, but I'm really not, that interested in traditional medicine. I'm more interested in alternatives. And so over the years, I have been able to, kind of be led in this direction of natural healing in terms of food as medicine, the Traeger approach, which is a movement approach. Reiki was one of the first things that somebody told me I was doing Reiki on them, and I didn't even know what it was, so I thought I should look into it. That was kind of an eye-opening experience. One of my aunts was a nurse, and she told me I had healing hands, and so all of these things were kind of coming into play as I was raising my kids by myself, which was a very stressful time. So I was kind of on the edge, but it served me. It helped me to open myself to my own potential and my own comfort of my body and letting go of the armoring that had happened as a single parent. And, the difficulties that arise within that created a lot of barriers inside of me. And when I found the Traeger approach, I felt like I had finally come home to myself. And it was such a realization that I wanted to share it with other people. And I thought, wow, if this feels this good to me, it's got to feel good to other people. And that's when I really started to dedicate my time and my training to the Traeger certification. But at the same time, it's kind of complicated, but at the same time, I continued to get a bachelor's in nursing, and I was working in the psychiatric care as a nurse. And out in Union County, there was a little 10-bed facility that I had kind of grown up in as a psych tech, and then as a nurse on the unit, and then as a outpatient counselor doing mental health and addictions. And during that time period, I convinced the board there that this training in alternative therapies would be really useful for the clientele, that we could teach them how to have better body awareness, how to, you know, mitigate their anxiety and their pain without using drugs and alcohol, or maybe without letting the anxiety get too bad so they couldn't function at home anymore. And I actually was given the funding to go do that. And then the physician that was the head of the board actually bought the massage table that I still use today. And this was 23 years ago. So I felt supported by that organization. And ever since then, I have just kind of blended the two. I'm a nurse, and I'm also a Traeger practitioner. I'm a Reiki practitioner.
Well, maybe. So let's back up just for 1 second. And you said something about you were doing Reiki, but you didn't know it. And just to say something about, just briefly, what is Reiki?
Okay, so Reiki is an energy modality where the hands really are not on the body, but they're above certain areas of the body. And we have an understanding of the chakra system and how energy works in the body. And then the training that I went through actually had some symbols that were used that would facilitate the opening of a blocked energy pattern. And so, you know, you can also lay your hands on and do that just to calm the nervous system. But the way I was trained was that it was right above the body within about 3 inches. So for instance, if you have a really painful knee, you can take your finger and draw a figure eight over and over and over again, right over that spot, and it will open up the energy channel. So this is just one aspect of Reiki that I learned. And so it's kind of been woven into the other hands-on modality that I use, which is the Traeger approach. So Reiki is not my first primary thing to go to, but because of that training, I gained a larger understanding of energy and how it's used within the body system.
So what does it mean to be a Traeger practitioner? And I know that's a word, practitioner, that is often used in different modalities of healing versus the medical model. So what does it mean to be a practitioner? And then could you explain a little bit in sort of simple steps what Traeger is?
Yeah, simple steps. Okay, so it's a 26-hour certification program that is done over about a period of a year. There are three levels of training, including anatomy and physiology. In the past, they've all been in person, but we are beginning to look at an online system of training for our community. The Traeger approach is based on movement and touch, and self-care is a major thrust of that. And so I would have a client come in and assess their movement patterns we would walk together, we would move together, and then they would be on a table for, you know, 45 minutes or an hour. And then when they would get up at the end, we would also move together in the same way that we did. And there would be changes that would happen during that time period. So as a practitioner is somebody that practices their modality. And in this case, it is certification. It's not a licensure, which is different. So nurses and physicians have licenses. But it is a very well-monitored program. There's a lot of mentoring that goes on with new students. And it's very much about self-development and self-care. And that's the highlight, I think, for me.
Could you explain a little bit about what you mean by self-care and how that applies?
Yeah, self-care means that we take responsibility for our own healing. And in order to do that, I believe we have to have greater body awareness. And when we're in a hurry and we are just going about our daily lives, and especially when we're younger and there's so much going on, you have families or you have whatever it's going on for you, we don't really pay attention to our body unless it really gets hurt. Well, as we age, things compound, things that we haven't addressed that probably got, you know, we develop compensation patterns. So as we age, there's more energy and more communication coming from our bodies that say, wait a minute, what is going on here? And so then the trigger approach helps us to help the person really get into a relaxed position so that they can feel those things. And often when I'm working on someone, memory will come back from an injury 20 or 30 years ago that they'd forgotten all about. And then I've started this whole series of issues, and as they're relaxing, that it kind of backtracks to that cellular memory, and then once that's released, they can find a new pattern. So it's really working with the unconscious mind, and this was the brilliance of Dr. Traeger, who discovered the work in the 60s, and
It
he was a physician.
strikes me that it really also is about the memory that's stored in muscles.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, cellular memory. It's muscle, it's bone, it's brain, it's everywhere in the body that has longevity.
Well, that's the whole thing of, athletes. That's why they can perform pretty well even when they're, sick with the flu or whatever, because the muscle memory kicks in and takes control and, off they go. So how does all this play into the care of the immune system? Because one of the things that I feel really frustrated about in the time that we're living right now is that there's a lot of talk about vaccines and perhaps some vaccines have their place. I'm not saying, anything pro or con about that. But what I am keen about is that nobody seems to be talking about how we can utilize our immune system to protect ourselves either from getting the virus or overcoming the virus. And that's pretty frustrating. So I'm just wondering how your approach fits into having a healthy immune system.
Well, there's no money in it if we care for ourselves, Annie. So it is just now beginning to be talked about, this idea of boosting our immune. The Holistic Nursing Association, which I belong to, also puts out a newsletter every month, and they have been focusing on alternative care and health in general. When I was in nursing school, I have to say the only part of my training that included health had to do with pregnancy. And they always told me, they told us that this is one aspect of this is a healthy state for a woman. But the rest of the things that I studied in nursing school before I got to my master's level or did on my own was that this is a disease process and we are going to treat it that way. So health is not something that is a priority for the traditional Western medicine. But, this approach that I've come up with is not new, but it really does help boost the immune system because we're looking at the whole picture. It's not just about movement and Reiki and having somebody help you heal. It's about learning how to heal yourself. And so I think for myself, there's three aspects of this. One is, first of all, the self-care aspect means that we need to love ourselves enough to listen to our bodies and respect them. Respecting ourselves is also going to be translated into how we interact with other people. So it's an important aspect of being able to relate to others and have healthy relationships and healthy communities.
Okay, well, I'm going to interrupt you right there. We'll come back to number two and number three here in just a second. But I wanted to remind everybody that you're listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and Annie Warmke. And we're joined today by Judy Fasson. And we wanted to remind you once more that it is indeed the end of the world as we know it.
And especially today, thank God.
And Judy, what's number two and what's number three in getting well?
Okay, so the first one is having that respect for self-care and self-love. And the second one is the food that we're putting in our mouths, and that if we could grow our own, it would be great. But we can't, so we need to make good choices. We need to know our local farmers, go to those farmers markets in the in the summer that are now opening up again. And also when you go to the grocery store, there's an organic section and there's also a section that is not. So if, you know, sometimes we think that the expense is too great, but actually when you get really good whole organic foods, you don't eat as much. So there is a trade-off there, but we have to just make better choices about our food.
And doesn't that go all the way back to the beginning of medicine? Didn't Hippocrates, you know, the Hippocratic Oath, say, let food be your medicine?
Absolutely. Yeah. So It is a return to the old. You know, I think that we're talking about that things are coming to an end. You're saying the end of life as we know it. It's really true. But that's true every day. You know, every day we have a chance to create something new. And so today I can go and make a choice about eating healthier, but I have to love myself in order to do that. I have to care enough about myself to make that hard choice. So that is definitely an old way of healing ourselves. It was all they had at the time were herbs and foods. And so we can go back to those things. We don't want to go back to having like a green pharmacy. That's one of the things that functional medicine, which is a really great summary of this basic cellular health that we're wanting to go back to through our food choices. They call green pharmacies is like using supplements to take care of these problems. And then people that do a lot of that then don't make the food choices and start cooking for themselves and growing their own food. They just rely on a substance like a pill or a supplement, just like they rely on medications. So we have to be aware of that. It's, you know, supplements are better than prescription medications in that they're less harmful. But we also want to even move away from that and rely on the foods that we're choosing to help ourselves. One of the problems with our food supplies, everybody knows, is that there's so many chemicals and fertilizers and pesticides that are in there, and GMO wheat and rice and corn. So about everything that we eat is loaded. So we have to understand that our environment is not necessarily the way it was 50 years ago. And sometimes we do need supplements to help us get over that edge, but just be very careful with using those instead of making these other basic changes.
So what's
third thing I wanted to just briefly touch on again was this movement aspect. And, you know, practitioners of alternative care like massage and yoga and all of these other things and the Traeger approach, they're really great to help you get started on a path towards wellness, but it's up to each individual how much they need and how they can make this a regular part of their day. I used to really question the need to have a running program or for myself, because I didn't like to run. You know, it's like, why do I have to run if I don't have to go somewhere? You know, to me, it just felt like it was, not essential. Walking is really essential for me because I enjoy it and it makes me feel good. But so I had to come to some kind of an understanding for myself. Instead of exercise in quotes, I want to live my life in a way that has more activity in it. And for me, that's being outdoors. That's backpacking, hiking, swimming, having access to rowing sometimes in the summer if I'm lucky. You know, so there's an individual choice that everybody has to make about what works for them. And if it's boring or if it's causing you pain and you just hate doing it, that's not the way to go. You have to find a way to move as part of your immune boosting because it cleans and detoxifies the cells. It cleans out our lungs. You know, this COVID has really three areas of the body that it really works on. First is the respiratory system. The second is cardiovascular. And the third can be the intestinal, the digestion. So we have to really find ways to have healthy lungs. You know, if we put that in our mind that we want to have a goal, then my lungs are healthy. And as soon as there's anything like, you know, allergens or any old injuries or chronic illness that you've got has to be dealt with so that you can have a healthy immune system, because our immune system is fighting those things and trying to heal things all the time.
So it sounds like we keep coming back, regardless of what we call it, which the medical model, to my understanding anyway, always seems to ignore this, is to be healthy, be nice to yourself, eat right, and get some exercise. You know, that's
pretty simple.
But you can't buy a second boat with that kind of advice.
That's true.
Well, that's some of it. But also, to be fair, the point
I don't want to be fair.
No. The point that you're making, Judy, is that we have to care enough about ourselves to look beyond the easy answer. The easy answer is what we've been told is go to a medical doctor, and they're either going to cut out what's wrong or they're going to mask it. So that you feel like, you know, you've been healed in some way.
But the messages we get from society, it's like, you're feeling like going for a walk? Consult your doctor. You know, it's like, well, how about just going for a walk?
Right. Well because of that, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, just to say the other point, I think, too, is that it's not just about showing up once. So you can go to the medical doctor and they send you home with something, or you get it at the pharmacy, whatever. But what you're saying in this idea of self-care, food, and movement is that you've got to show up every day. And if you decide you need help, like to come to you as a Traeger practitioner or a chiropractor or to do yoga, it's not a one-shot deal, because it took you a while to get to where you are. And so it's going to take you a while to learn new ways to be healed or healthier.
Yeah,
and I think, I wonder if you see that possible within the medical model.
Well, actually, one of the trends in nursing is nurse coaching. And I see this as a step in that direction. So I got certified as a nurse coach 8 years ago. I was cohort number 2. Now there are like 37 cohorts that this one particular group has trained. And so the coaching is also seen in insurance companies. They pay, you know, nurses, you know, you have so many sessions with a nurse coach if you're having chronic illness now. So that is a trend that we are beginning to look at. How do we change our lifestyle, which is what we're talking about? You can't do what you've always done and heal yourself. You know, you have to undo and go back to the basics. And that means giving up things. And so then we have to look at the motivation for why we continue to harm ourselves when we know better. So there's a lot of underlying psychological and personality. We could say it's DNA, you know, right?
Yeah.
But DNA can change if we are aware enough to make a plan and change, you know, and sometimes we need support for that. Physicians typically are not that person because they don't have time for it.
Don't study these things. They don't study nutrition more than one class. They don't study real healing. It is a modality. And I think that's the challenge we have. So how can we take some of these healing modalities and practices and find ways that they have to be interjected or injected into the common medical model practice? How can that happen?
Well, I think right now, because of what's happening and people are staying home and away from the hospitals because they're not places they want to be, you know, I think a lot of people are looking at other resources for themselves. You know, there's so many videos online now. You can have a yoga class in your home. You can do Qigong. You can, you know, get your movement without going to a class, you know, so a lot of this is free online. And so there, I keep looking for benefits of our times, right? So one of the benefits is that people are being made aware of these resources for themselves. I think aside from that, I think of life as a great adventure, right? So I want to explore these different modalities and find one that works for me. Traeger worked really well for me, and that's why I have delved into it. But some people would prefer to have a regular massage, or they don't want to become a massage therapist. They want somebody to do it for them. You can do self-massage. You know, everybody has to find their own way with this. But I particularly have always had a desire to change our healthcare system so that, like you're saying, it is more amenable to people taking care of themselves. And I think it is changing. I think in the last 10 years, I've seen more movement in that direction than in the past. But I think, unfortunately, that it has to somehow feed this economic system that we have going. So the changes are very slow. It's like a big wheel, and these wheels turn. The bigger they are, the slower they're going to turn. But at the personal level, we can do a lot to get, you know, our wheel is very small, so we can turn really quickly, we can change really quickly.
I think it's a good point you're making, that there's a lot of information out there on in places like YouTube and groups, because there's such a strong learning curve to reaching out to different modalities. I mean, the first thing we've been taught is always depend on this medical doctor. And it seems to me, well, my experience too, is that there was I had a group get in touch with me. It was a big study they were doing on women's health. So things about mammograms and colon cancer and things like that. And normally I wouldn't participate, but I just decided, hey, I'm going to be the odd person out. So I'm going to see if I can skew the data a little bit. And it was fascinating because, of course, it was all about looking at videos and making decisions about changing your mind about a colonoscopy and things like that. And of course, I didn't change my mind, but then they would call at different times to talk to me. And it was a nurse that called. And the thing that was fascinating was they'd go through the questions, and then I'd say, no, I'm not getting a colon cancer treatment, or I'm not treatment, but a test or anything like that. No, I'm not getting a mammogram. And I talked about the things you're talking about, food and care and having a happy life and that type of thing. And and every single time they would say, well, we're going to turn off the tape recorder now, or the audio. And I just wanted to say something to you. Yes. And every time they would say, thank you for participating, because we don't get women like you talking to us. And one woman even said, I've been to visit your place, and I just think you're great.
Okay, well, speaking of turning off the tape recorder, we've come to the end here. You've been listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and Annie Warmke, joined by Judy Fasone. Thank you very much, Judy. And we want to thank our producer, the Emmy Award-winning, always prompt and always attentive, Adam Rich. And we want to thank you for spending just a bit of time with us. And as your grandmother hopefully told you, even though she was not a Traeger practitioner, the secret to a happy and sustainable life is play.
Okay.
You be the practitioner.
All right. Play nice with others. Clean up your own mess. And for heaven's sake, Jay, give me a chance to talk.
Eat your vegetables. Okay. Till next time.
Mother Earth will sing, and her children will be.
You can find more information on living sustainably in our unsustainable world at BlueRockStation.com.